We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The KC Sports Network live postgame show is about to begin. KC Sports Network is the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City. Millions of views, millions of podcast downloads, and the highest ranked Chiefs podcast network of 2022. KCSN is where you want to be for news, commentary, and analysis with a collective perspective on the Kansas City Chiefs that can't be found anywhere else. With more than 15 hosts, analysts, and former players you've watched play putting out nearly 20 shows per week, KCSN is a network for today's fan. Now, it's time for the KCSN Live Postgame Show. Here's BJ Kissel.
The Kansas City Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl.
Go!
They are AFC champions, beating the Bengals 23-20. This is the KCSN Live postgame show from the Blue Wire Studios at the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas. I'm BJ Kissel, Ken Swanson, Maddie Lane, Craig Stout, Tucker Franklin, and Michaela Bennett. This is going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us. Hit that like and subscribe. I think everybody tuning into the show right now cannot wait to hear what Mr. Ken Swanson has to say. This man has been as quiet as he possibly could be, waiting for this moment as the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cincinnati Bengals in a game that is one of the most exciting, thrilling, full of storyline games that we have seen in Chiefs recent history. Mr. Kent Swanson, the floor is yours.
I have not prepared a single thing I'm going to say today, and I'm afraid of what's going to come out of my mouth, if I'm being honest. I'll just be honest with you. Last year was devastating. It was absolutely devastating. We've had to deal with so much stupid stuff in the media for the last year, listening to people compare somebody to Patrick LaVon Mahomes.
Who?
The best player in the National Football League by a large, massive gap.
Who's that?
Patrick LaVon Mahomes is the quarterback for the Kansas City Chiefs, Matthew. And he, on one ankle, went out and bopped the Cincinnati Bengals in one of the toughest performances I've ever seen in my entire life.
Who'd they beat?
The Cincinnati... I'm sorry. You're going to correct me. My fault.
The Cincinnati Froggles.
I have not seen a team respond to the kind of adversity that the Kansas City Chiefs just showed. It is one of the most tough performances, 1-53, that I have ever seen in my entire life. I cannot get over what this team did collectively as a group, because it was a team effort. Everyone put something together to help them respond to what they're dealing with the Mahomes injury. Marcus Kemp played half the game. Kemp.
We are going to talk about Chris Jones. We cannot go 4 minutes into the show and not talk about Chris Jones. We will.
I want to
get you worked up.
There's Patrick LaVon Mahomes, a big gap, another gap. Spend all summer arguing about who number two is. I don't care. Argue with your cats. Get over it. You don't get that narrative this summer. We don't have to deal with that this summer.
Guess what? The Cats have time for you to argue with them now because they're not going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
There are so many storylines to break down from this game. I don't know if I've been a part of a Chiefs game that said so many ups and downs, so many why are we doing this, all the injuries, all the different there were so many reasons why the Chiefs weren't going to win this game. And we could be frustrated about it. It could be Andy Reid's decision to punt the ball late in with less than a minute to go, whenever that was. Like, I'm going to lose it too.
Oh,
we shouldn't be sitting next to each other right
now. We really shouldn't.
Craig, Maddie, let's go to you.
The only person that might be more hyped than Kent Swanson right now than what BJ Kissel's about to get and what we're going to be is Travis Kelce.
Holy cow.
Coming right off the field, we get a Burrowhead my ass into the mic on national television. Then he gets up on the stage accepting the Lamar Hunt Trophy and directed at the Cincinnati mayor, know your role and shut your mouth.
Wow. I mean, you think they took this game personal?
You think they care?
You think?
Okay. Let's pivot just a little bit. We're going to get to all of this, but before we get out of this opening segment, I'm just saying it right now. Chris Jones is my MVP.
Mm.
Holy cow. Chris Jones needed a game like that. His legacy was already cemented. Don't get me wrong. He's a Ring of Honor player. He already was. This cements him as an all-timer. It really does. We are on the brink. If the Chiefs go ahead, they have a great performance in the Super Bowl. They win another one. Chris Jones has a good performance in the Super Bowl. We are talking Hall of Fame. The only thing left on his resume that he did not have was playoff performance. Jacksonville Jaguars game, he had a great performance, and the stat sheet didn't show it. This game was a phenomenal performance, and the stat sheet shows it. I'm so hyped. There's so many defensive players we're going to talk about. I'm so hyped for Chris Jones.
I mean, he did everything. We've said it all year. He's a defensive player of the year. He's playing better than Aaron Donald, who has been for the past decade the best defender in football, bar none. It's not close. It's been Aaron Donald, everybody else. Chris Jones this year took over that role, and he's only been better in the playoffs. It's amazing that he came out against the Fraudgles and he pulled this kind of performance off against them, because what they have done throughout the history of playing the Chiefs, they have found a way to double team Chris Jones. They have found a way to chip him, to take him out of the game because he's so dominant. Guess what they couldn't do this time? They could not do that. He would not let it happen. He beat up your right tackle. He beat up your right guard.
Like a drum.
He beat that center's ass. He beat the left guard. It doesn't matter. He was beating everybody.
As a defense, the Chiefs finished this game with 5 sacks, 6 tackles for loss, 7 passes defense, 12 quarterback hits.
Well,
and helped Joe Burrow finish 26 of 41, 270 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, a quarterback rating of 70.2.
Not good enough is what it was, because you can't go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on one leg.
One leg. Without any receivers. I feel like Jamar Chase did just as much as Juju Smith-Schuster, who had to leave the game.
I mean, like, I can't get over this, man. I cannot get over this. The Chiefs couldn't run the football, and they stopped trying. They really stopped trying. It was 43 of their pass plays were passes. Actually, it's 46 technically, because Mahomes ran the ball 3 times. Like, the ratio was like 75% pass. Patrick Mahomes on one leg, they just said, like, let's just sling the ball around. Let's just do that. And all these guys, Juju Smith-Schuster, hurt. Kadarius Toney,
hurt.
Mecole Hardman,
hurt.
They accounted for 26 of Patrick Mahomes' 326 yards.
Justin Watson, not in the game. Let's be honest. Isaiah Pacheco, banged up. Humphrey got banged up. Trey Smith got banged up.
Travis Kelce was banged up.
And Mahomes was hobbled. And they still got it done.
And, God, man, like, there's so many, like, little things that keep coming back to me. And it's like, we talk about all this stuff. We're looking at this guy, and we're looking at this offense slug it out. Me and Maddie were talking about, like, the play calling was a hot mess. I don't disagree. I don't know what they had to call, and I don't know if they knew what they could call.
That's fair. It's like, it became apparent. I think it became apparent any time that they were having to get a specific amount of yards above, like, 3. They were struggling to pull stuff from the play sheet that they had. I think you're right. They had the bodies to put in those positions.
It's just like, but we talk about all this, and we're looking at all this, right? And Marcus Kemp was a street free agent in September. He was a practice squad member for the whole season. And they call him up. And the only reason they call him up, probably, is my guess, is that the Cincinnati Bengals decided to be petty and claim Chris LeMond's.
Ooh, guess they should have claimed Marcus Kemp while they were at it.
Maybe they should have tried to sign Marcus Kemp too, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, we're running down all these weapons.
Ugh.
But before we get out of here, Marquez Valdes-Scantling played a hero ball game today.
You're giving your MVP out, so he's my MVP. MVS is my MVP. I think every Chiefs fan at some point in time this year has been a little critical of his game because there's a little bit of a lack of consistency. They've kind of only used him in this one specific role, and it doesn't seem like it's everything you want. This game, there was a long chunk of time where Mahomes was clearly hobbled around. He had re-aggravated that ankle. He couldn't move. They were struggling to figure out who to throw the ball to. And they're just like, hey, MVS, what if we just put you on every single route that we have everywhere on the field, and can you do that? And he took this offense for a while, threw it on his back while Travis Kelce's getting double and triple teamed. Mahomes can't really move, and he just carried this offense for a while. They had him running bubble screens. They had him running crossers, go outs. He was doing absolutely everything. And you know what he did not do a single time in this game? Drop a football that was catchable in his direction. Absolutely stellar performance from MVS. I have been one that's done it. I think we've all have doubted him at some point in time, and if he's a guy that you can really base this game around him, the Chiefs don't even come close to competing or winning in this game without him.
While we're talking about all the injuries, talk about the Chiefs rookie class. We know they had their ups and downs in this game, but they all made plays. And the one that we should not forget, and I know we're mentioning early in this game and or early in the show just because I want to mention it, Sky Moore, the return at the end of the game, 29
monster.
Yards.
A monster.
Monster return. Every rookie stepped up. And I think what's amazing about this game, guys, and it's the reason it's going to be so fun to talk about for the next several days, is that there were points in this game where you're like, man, the offense isn't going to get it done. Like, it's going to take the defense because all these guys are banged up. And then with the defense, it's like, holy cow, they're not getting it done right now. They're getting picked apart. Third and 14 conversion. Third and 16 conversion. We're all pulling our hair out. Same thing on special teams. Making mistakes, not getting it done. And then we're sitting around praising them the next moment. Every group struggled, overcame it, and came back. That's why if you were watching our live stream show, saying there are certain pedigrees that championship teams have to overcome mistakes, and all three phases of the Chiefs team did that tonight.
Well, yes. And I think the defense was – you can't ask for anything better than what you got out of that defense. That is the best that group can play, especially when you consider Willie Gay goes out. You're like, LeJarius Sneed. They did this without LeJarius Sneed and Willie Gay.
If they wouldn't have converted the third and 14 and third and 16, I wouldn't have as many gray hairs as I do now. So, I could be a little more unrealistic.
I'm not trying to get too big picture. I know we're, like, breaking little pieces down here and there. But, like, this team, like, the embodiment of what this team. Let me come back. I'm so flustered. I'm so emotional. But when I look at this team and I look at so many times in this game, it looked like last year. It looked like they were stepping up into, you know, last year. It was like the wheels were going to start falling off. The ball was going to start rolling down the hill negatively. Three and outs. We saw a couple three and outs. We saw the first end of the first half, the end of the second half, you know, just some struggles there. We saw turnovers. We saw coverage busts. We saw big third and longs. Mm-hmm. All these things that have hurt the Chiefs in these games. And then you get these injuries piling up. And you just look at all these things that have damaged this football team in the three games prior, these three-point losses. And now what you're looking at is they overcame all of them, literally all of them, in a way that, it can't be overstated what this team just did. I'm not trying to dunk on Marcus Kemp, but it's like they didn't have dynamic offensive weapons. Patrick Mahomes is on one leg, and they're gutting it out all the way through. I'm dumbfounded.
I'm about to lose it. They talked so much shit.
They did
all fucking week about they were going to dominate Arrowhead, and it's Burrow, all this shit. Half our team gets hurt, and they still can't get it done.
Their best
they
wasn't
still
good
can't
enough.
Beat us.
Wasn't good enough. Their best.
All they did was piss us off and get those guys locked in so they can go out and make mistakes, to your point, saying it looks similar to last year. No, because these guys were locked in, and we're not going to let that freaking happen.
there was no chance. I mean, that was just it. There was no chance. Because of what the Bengals have done over the past 2 years, because of the amount of shit they have talked, because of everything they're saying this week, because they're wearing sorry in advance or whatever t-shirts while walking into the stadium, everything they have done has put this target on their back. It's put this target directly on them. And here's this team that had a great playoff run last year in the Fraud Goals. They have this great playoff run until they lose the Super Bowl. But they started acting like they were the class of the NFL. They thought they were the team to beat. They thought they mattered. They don't. They still don't matter. It was a one-hit wonder. That's all it was right now. That's all they've done. They didn't even have a hit. They still lost in the Super Bowl. They've done nothing with this team, and this team has carried themselves with the arrogance like they mattered in the grand scheme of things, and they don't. The Chiefs are out here with 50% of their starters that is healthy. 50% of these starters are healthy. Guess what? It doesn't matter.
Your best isn't good enough. And guess what? At least your team's going to get more expensive. And I'm sure your owner's going to actually cough up and pay for all of them. I'm sure he's not going to be cheap in the slightest. I'm sure this team's going to look the same it was. This was your best chance, Cincinnati. You blew it. This was it. You're done. Because you're going to get more expensive. Your quarterback's going to get more expensive. And your owner stinks. That was it. You blew it.
And what did the Chiefs do? They got experience from a bunch of rookies out on the field.
Six rookies were playing in the dime.
I have said all season long.
What did I say in March? You're so calm. I love it. What's up?
What did I say in March? What did I say? If you allow the Chiefs to make it to a fifth straight AFC championship game, let alone have it at home, you fucked up, AFC.
Oh,
you did. This team's in the Super Bowl.
Hey, look, I want to welcome all the Bengals fans hanging out here today.
We appreciate it.
No, thanks for coming in. Looking like we got a lot of comments here saying refs MVP. What all I got to say is cope. Have a good night. Your chili sucks. Your mayor sucks. And your quarterback's not good enough. And he's only going to get more expensive. So enjoy all that. Oh, and your owner sucks too.
The refs do suck. Either side can sit here and say it was good for either way. And overall, I thought, I don't want to go too far down a stupid reffing conversation while we're getting hyped. They suck for both sides. They let them be physical, but then called random ticky-tack fouls. It is what it is.
I mean, the Bengals' O-line was propped up on holding.
That happened. Whatever. Somehow. Get the hell over it. Get the hell over it and beat rookie defensive backs that are backups that are starting. Get the hell over it. Defend Marcus Kemp, who you forced the Chiefs to pull him off the practice squad because you thought you had some kind of slick-ass move to steal Chris LeMond's. Guess how pissed he is right now that he's not hanging out with the Chiefs about to go to the Super Bowl, but is instead stuck in no man's land.
Guess what? He's still going to get a ring. It's cool, buddy.
I know he is.
Yeah.
Just kind of like
just
how
not
Carlos,
in Cincinnati.
Just kind of how like Carlos Dunlap is holding the trophy up there with the rest of
what
the Chiefs.
What a petty move by the Chiefs organization having Carlos Dunlap, former Bengal Carlos Dunlap, up there handing him the trophy second after Clark Hunt.
And he was beaming.
He was.
I know it ended poorly with him and that coaching staff and that organization. It's like that played a part. He was beaming for it. He loved every second of it. So I thought that was hilarious. And you want to know the Chiefs, we always talk about, especially BJ, because he's kind of been in there, how professional they are, how much you're going to model this organization after Andy Reid. That's who they are. Pulling a move like putting Carlos Dunlap up there on the stage or Travis Kelce feeling that he has the freedom to say some of the stuff that he was saying there. Like, you know, the Bengals got under this team's skin.
Between Carlos Dunlap being on the stage, Travis Kelce immediately calling out the Cincinnati mayor, and Patrick Mahomes walking into the stadium with a middle finger. You can't tell. As soon as Chris Jones said, "We'll see you at Burrowhead," that's where I was like, okay.
Yeah, you knew.
He was going to come out. Lewis Riddick tweeted it out. I was like, Chris Jones. We talked about it all week, that Chris Jones playing like a defensive player of the year was going to be the difference in this game, and it absolutely was. Chris Jones deserves all the credit. So much is going to go to Patrick Mahomes for being a warrior. Should. There's so many flowers that need to be given to this game. We might do 87,000 podcasts this week. Travis Kelce. There's so many
gutting
people.
Isaiah Pacheco.
These dudes together. Isaiah Pacheco.
Trey Smith, I'm telling you, we're gonna look back from this game in 24 hours, in 48 hours, and we're gonna be flabbergasted by what we just when we go through the laundry list and have a chance to actually look at everything that's happened. I think this win's only gonna taste sweeter 48 hours from now. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, guys know, the Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. Like, it doesn't even, like, I mean, that isn't
the
even
Andy
registered.
Reed Bowl. Yeah. The Kelce Bowl.
The new Heights Bowl.
Yeah. So many storylines.
But, like,
story
it doesn't even feel like that so yet. Good. Like, I can't even process that. But everything that it took to get to that point with a rookie draft class that this team needed to be good. And they were. And so many of them were six. Like you said, there were six rookies on the field at one point on the defensive side of the football.
And I know we're going back and forth and jumping. All right. Another player I'm really, we just named like half the team. Another player I'm really happy for is Andrew Wiley. That call didn't end up coming back to bite them because that was horseshit. These guys put too much time into this. They put too much for something. I know it was dumb. I know we did it right in front of the player, right in front of the ref. But something that petty should not be like they are allowed to show their emotions and show their personality a little bit. I'm glad for Andrew Wiley's sake that didn't come back to bite this team.
Breaking news, really quick. Frank Clark has a cigar. I'm sorry.
Just, hey, okay. No, hang on. I got to get in here.
I know I'm jumping in. I'm
so
sorry,
do I too.
Okay, you get in here first.
Okay, so as far as Andrew Wiley goes, definitely a penalty the way the NFL works, which is a stupid penalty. I think it's completely garbage that Jesse Bates can walk behind Kadarius Toney talking shit in his ear for 20 yards, and it doesn't matter. But because Wiley decided to do some kind of little skip and taunt at Sam Hubbard or Trey Hendrickson after a play where he blocked him and the Chiefs picked up a lot of yards, that's stupid.
Eli Apple did the same thing. He chirped in the entire Chiefs offensive sideline.
Wait, hold on. Did Eli Apple play?
That makes...
Did he? Oh, sorry.
He had a couple...
Didn't
he had a
see
couple
him out there.
He had a pretty big holding call.
Oh, he's probably... Okay. I didn't know if he played.
That's stupid. There's just that concept is really stupid, especially because I know Trey Hendrickson, very good player. Sam Hubbard, very good player. Mm-hmm. But I've watched them. They do extra because that's what good players do. They try to piss you off. They try to talk shit too. So just because Wiley does the same thing, but it's a little bit more theatrical, he gets in trouble for it. Well, like I said, Jesse Bates travels around yelling in someone's ear. Like, it's just that's dumb. That's a different discussion. Just to go on to your point, I don't care that Wiley did that. Like, it was a dumb move, but like, come on. Yo, Travis Kelce did how many of these early in his career?
Oh,
and like,
goodness.
It just happens.
Mine's coming from a person. I know Andrew Wiley. I know his personality. That's not his personality to do stuff like that. So for that to come back and bite the team would be a problem. I will say one more thing before we pivot on, and I know we're jumping around a lot here. Reason that you need to hit the like and subscribe button is that we are all celebrating. We're going to have a good time in Vegas tonight. But at 7:30 tomorrow morning, all three of these guys, I'm not, these three guys are going to be watching practice tomorrow at the East West Shrine Bowl, getting ready for NFL draft content. That's why you need to follow KC Sports Network and what we have going on, because we will get ready for the Super Bowl, but they will be ready for the NFL draft as well.
Okay. We have made it a very long way into this podcast already. Very, very long way into this podcast. Talk your shit on Frank Clark.
Listen. The man is third all-time in NFL postseason sacks. I wasn't fired up. I wasn't ready for this.
Is that good?
There might not be... There have been a lot of polarizing players for the Kansas City Chiefs over the last few years, but Frank Clark might be one of the most polarizing players about production versus contract. You pay guys to step up when it matters.
What's the most important time?
The goddamn playoffs! And that's what you want to see from your best players.
Tell them!
Who steps up? Who led this team? Who is the emotional leader of the deep? Chris Jones is an absolute phenomenal football player,
monster.
Defensive player of the year. You ask Chris Jones who fires up the team on that team, it's Frank Clark. I have defended that fucking guy from the moment I got to the Chiefs and met him and since I left. And he has gotten so much shit from everyone because of his production during the regular season versus what they pay him. For what he has done in the playoffs, you could give him $100 million and feel completely comfortable with it.
It doesn't matter.
And it's not your damn money, but you can celebrate all the success.
That's three Super Bowls. That's three Super Bowls that Frank Clark is going to get to play in during the life of that contract.
What's that worth?
A lot.
What's that worth?
I'm going to do an entire podcast on
it. A lot of money. And that's the thing.
10 things.
Frank Clark, listen, Chris Jones got so much extra attention from the Bengals offensive line, as he should. He's the defensive player of the year. He absolutely is. He should absolutely get all of that attention. You know what happens when that happens? You have to have other players step up and make plays. Frank Clark stepped up and made plays. Mike Dana stepped up and made plays. Colin Saunders stepped up and made plays. Those three dudes.
George Karloftis.
I don't mean to leave him out. I don't mean to leave him out. But those three dudes that I mentioned, everybody wanted to replace this past offseason.
And nobody wanted Frank back on the team this year.
Oh, they were
restructured his contract. Everybody thought he was gone. Done. And then what did he do? Came back, took a pay cut. And the day that we had our guy, Eddie High, at training camp, putting out videos of him working with George Karloftis and all the young players.
What do we hear? Oh, he's just doing that for the cameras. Not knowing.
Okay.
That's what he's done since he stepped into the building. George Karloftis is a better player. Mike Dana is a better player. Joe Cullen deserves every flower that everybody gives him.
Oh, he's been awesome.
Chris Jones is a better player.
Can we talk about Joe Cullen now?
Yeah.
Because Mike Dana?
Monster.
Colin Saunders?
Monster.
Chris Jones, Frank Clark. What do they all have in common?
Careers.
A position coach. Joe Cullen. And what he did this offseason. Sean Barber sat there and told us the other day on Saturday when we recorded our five things to watch video that what Joe Cullen will do to get the most out of his players and the way that he motivates the guys, that we had career years from multiple players. We saw George Karloftis step up and have one of the best rookie seasons for an edge rusher in the NFL this season.
Right, hey, real quick, I want to jump in to kind of piggyback on the...
so much, I apologize.
Yeah, where's the swear jar at,
by
the way?
No, we need to see the flag this whole thing.
I'm sorry.
Joe Cullen, all right.
Put a disclaimer at the beginning. Tucker.
We talked about George Karloftis here. I'm going to circle back to all this because the next guy that needs... Well, we'll see. Just say something about this. Skyline Chili is awful. I don't even know why it's a thing. I don't even know how anybody would eat it. And
Let's get back to football.
Anyways, discount Cleveland. I want to go back.
My God.
Hey, look.
Oh, my God.
Let's give Brett Beaches
that. That was a low blow. That was the lowest blow that I think that.
You just have to end it there. Yo, I don't know if you can.
This has been.
My eyes are watering.
It's been festering for like a year. Anyways, we talk about. We need to give Brett Veach's flowers. Because you said George Karloftis, you brought George Karloftis up. Okay, Trent McDuffie, I think there was some moments where some coverage issues slipped a couple times, but there were some very big plays and some big moments that tackles. He had. Mm-hmm. Big tackles. I mean, he was the only one to bring Jamar Chase to the ground. George Karloftis gets a sack. Brian Cook tips a pass to Joshua Williams to get one of the interceptions. Isaiah Pacheco has 85 all-purpose yards, 56. He's the third leader in receiving yards. Jalen Watson, another interception. Like, the list goes on and on. This rookie class is why the Chiefs are here. And yes, there were some moments that they weren't perfect. But at the same, like, they made big plays. They were trial by fire. And I think about two things. Like, that was huge. You know, like, credit Brett Veach. But also, like, this is monumental for their growth, where y'all, the league better be terrified.
They screwed up.
They screwed up.
They did what?
They fucked up.
There you go.
The AFC fucked up. Jar. They did. We have said it all along. You can't allow the Chiefs to undergo a rebuilding year, a year that they're going to clear cap, a year that they're going to try and get assets and try and add young players to this roster. You cannot allow them to continue the success that they have. Because guess what? Year two of that, those players are better. It's cheaper. You can add more players than year three. Guess what? You're still living in that. You feel the repercussions of that rebuilding for such a long time. It is why that decision is so hard to make. Because if you make the wrong decision there, if you pull the parachute at the wrong time, then it sets you back. We've seen countless teams that have said, all right, you know what? We're going to rebuild around a quarterback, and I'm not going to say any names, Green Bay, that, you know, they pulled the parachute several times, and it didn't work out. Brett Veach pulled the parachute this year, and they are now set up both in the short term now because they're back at another Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes and company, and they're set up for the future. They have a lot of young bodies. Yes, there are holes. I'm not going to say that there are not holes on this roster, but they have filled it with so many young players. They've added so many role players. They've gotten development out of so many guys. It is going to be so difficult to run with this team now because they have assets and money to spend.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network.
We'll be back right after this. Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
I want to get one player we haven't given credit to yet.
There's one left? There's a lot.
There's one player's name we haven't mentioned, and there's one battery of players, three, that we have not mentioned in this yet. But I'm gonna make another plea about the Frank Clark thing. I'm going to try not to get too hyped up about this. I love Chiefs Kingdom. I grew up loving Chiefs Kingdom. Section 338, row 10, seats 10 and 11 with my dad. We were all the same. But so many of you fucking people just should apologize to Frank Clark for what was said. And you know who you are. And there are a lot of people that supported him from the beginning. There were a lot of people that said and wanted this dude gone. And you were wrong. And I will put myself, I very rarely would do this. There are very few people that supported him throughout everything. I was around him. That's why I felt the way that I did. So I'm asking... Frank Clark deserves to feel the love for how much shit he got for so long. And I don't think he cares. It's not coming from that position.
Is this Frank Clark related?
And then I want to come back because there's one play I want to talk
about.
It's
Frank Clark related. Just for everybody who wants to know, Neil Smith lit Frank Clark's victory cigar.
Oh, boy. Oh, yes.
Woo.
Please go ahead.
There are two players in NFL history have more postseason sacks than Frank Clark now.
It's only
two. Bruce Smith and Willie McGinnis.
Hey, and also
that could change. We have not talked about Harrison Butker.
That's where I wanted to go. Can we do something really, really quick, though?
Yes.
Can we hit the like and subscribe button, please? I mean, there's a bunch of you watching right now, and we're having a lot of fun celebrating with you. Please hit that like and subscribe button because we are going to have so many shows covering the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl. We're going to have 18 Chiefs shows a week, so we got all kinds of sweet, sweet content coming your way. And we appreciate everybody coming to hang out. But hit the like button. Hit some subscribe button. Leave some comments. Because y'all are having some fun, too, it looks like. So we'll be posting some of those comments as well. Back to Harrison Butker, if you'd like.
Oh, Harrison Butker deserves all the credit in the world. Because we spent a lot of time.
And Tommy.
Myself included. Spent a lot of time saying, when they get to the playoffs, are you going to feel entirely confident that when he lines up that he's going to drill the field goal? And I don't care if we were confident or not. He lined up and drilled all two extra points, all three field goals, and won the Chiefs the game tonight, along with everybody else that we're giving flowers
needed
to. There's probably like three players left on the active roster for the game today that we have not mentioned yet. We'll get to them.
Butker was amazing. He was drilling these field goals. Not all of them were easy. It's hard to kick a football when it feels like it's 5 degrees. It's cold off that field. Like, that doesn't feel good. The air out there, it really kills some of the drives. Like, that was great. On the same note, Tommy Townsend. My guy was out here holding his ass off. You know, he's getting in trouble. The NFL's out there marking him as a guy that's used a string or something to mark his spot. That's okay.
Using his heel.
Dig our heel on the ground so we know where to put it. Tucker's loving it. Tucker's celebrating with him when he's hitting these things. He had, what, four punts? Three of them go inside the 20. I believe two of them were inside the 10, like right around the 6-yard line and the 4-yard line. He was punting great. He was holding great. He is celebrating the game-winning field goal by hugging Butker when that ball is barely clearing the line of scrimmage. He doesn't even care. He says, I know I got my hold down. I put that shit where it goes. Butker's going to do the rest, and it's going right through the middle of the uprights. The confidence that those two have as a special team unit. There is that. We've seen swaggy punters, swaggy kickers throughout the NFL. I don't know. Between some of Butker's walk-off moves, between some of the stuff Tommy's done, those two guys are getting it. When they're feeling it out there, the Chiefs special team is better, and we ragged on the Chiefs special team
That's what I was going to say. Let's stick with that. They were good.
All year long.
They were good today.
And everyone's taking Dave Tope, and I think he's made some highly questionable decisions
Absolutely.
Here. Kicking the Jamal Agnew ever? Stupid.
Yeah. Stupid. I'm not on board with that at all.
This game, knowing that the Bengals don't have particularly good returners and kicking to them, it was working. And then after the one time it didn't work, he said, I think my guys are getting hurt. They probably don't want to keep running into contact. Let's start kicking it deep now. He made an adjustment mid-game off of something that had worked 2 out of 3 times.
And we're going to talk about the Sky Moore return that set up the game-winning field goal. That wasn't the only Sky Moore return.
The one called back off garbage holding penalty.
Listen, Sky Moore had everybody just saying, oh no, with him back there. It happened because we all remember what had happened. You look at him in a crucial moment, and you're like, man, just don't screw this up. Please don't screw this up.
He said, bet.
Yeah,
bet.
He did. Twice with two awesome returns. Dave Tobe had a really good game. And a game like you alluded to there, Matty, the Chiefs were having to dig very deep into their personnel to try and get guys on the field that could even line up and run plays. And Dave Tobe, having to make adjustments, having to try and nullify reps, having to figure out ways to get that done. A really good job by him. Really great performance by Tommy Townsend. Awesome job by Harrison Butker. It was great.
No, well, actually, sorry. I know I was, I'm sorry.
I'm going to bring it right back for you.
Go then.
We've been doing the show for 35 minutes or so. We haven't spent a lot of time talking about Patrick Mahomes' legacy. What this game is going to do. There's so many players to give flowers to now that we've talked about everybody.
Well,
this was a guy.
KCSN's flower budget, by the way. It's going to be really high. Expensive this week.
Whatever. But a sponsor.
Really high.
Whatever.
Can we go to discount Patrick Mahomes, Cleveland?
Banged up.
I feel so bad for that one.
Three of his top receivers
I out. Like Cincinnati, too. They have one of my favorite restaurants in the city. It's not Skyline.
All right, BJ, start cooking. Go.
Sorry.
I'm just setting the stage for this man.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes. People get annoyed. We're already at the level that I say like Patriots fans were at the point. There's been so much consistent success that Patrick Mahomes, not to make it about his family unfairly criticized because of the success that they've had. And this man just goes out and plays like a fucking warrior and gets it done. And everybody tries to figure out so many reasons, connect so many dots on why he can't get it done. And they get sick and tired of the success. And they just love the fact that Joe Burrow and this cocky player from LSU smoking cigars is going to come up and be his kryptonite. Mm-hmm. He has every reason not to win this football game. And he goes out there on one leg and gets it done. Shout out to Rick Burkholder. Shout out to Bobby Stroop. Everybody around him. Mm-hmm. David Glover, Julie, Evan Kraft. Everybody in the Chiefs athletic training staff that works with these players and gets them done. Whoever's working with Patrick. He has every reason not to get it done. And the national media would love to absolutely tear him down. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of graphics that are going to come out about how many people were picking against the Chiefs because they didn't think that Patrick Mahomes could outduel Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Not only did he outduel him with one leg, with all the guys that we had missing, he did it with seemingly everyone outside of Kansas City hoping he would fail. Mm-hmm. Because we're at a point in society where a lot of people, once you get to a certain level, they would love to see you fail and they want to root for the next guy.
Yeah. There's only... Okay, so... And I wrote about this. Mahomes gave us all pinch-me moments throughout the first couple years of his career. He delivered a Super Bowl in the second season of his reign as a starter, and he did all these things, and he took the league by storm, and he stunned us all. He shocked us all. and he normalized greatness, which is what we use all the time. And since then, it's not that no one appreciates what Mahomes does. It's not that nobody, I don't think Chiefs fans take it for granted. I think he just makes it look so easy that it's impossible to really comprehend what we're seeing. And so you get an opportunity like today where he's hobbling on a high ankle sprain, that Tony Romo wouldn't even think about playing on. He wouldn't have finished the game because that's just the difference between those two.
And he goes
out and on one leg, all of his receivers, game plan gets destroyed. He just goes out and he just keeps making plays. He keeps fighting. And the thing that I keep coming back to, and I don't think we've talked about this yet, but you look at this. I'm not trying to dunk on, shout out Marcus Kemp, Hawaii's best. Like, he's on the field running all these routes and all that stuff. They're gutting this thing out. They're trying to figure out how to call plays. They're limited in all this stuff. And yeah, it's ugly at times. But Patrick Mahomes ran for that first down or for that last
yeah
play.
Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a lot talked about Osai on that
you
play.
Lost it, and that's okay. But like we talk about over my dead body games. You know, shout out Terrez Paylor, rest in peace. We talk about over my dead body games. That was the most over my dead body play
ever
that I've seen in a long time. I don't want to pretend like I've seen every sport. I'm sure I am going to forget one. This guy cannot move. He's finishing off passes, hopping on his left foot because he doesn't want to put pressure on his right foot. He can't move, and he takes off and runs, and he picks up the first down. Yes, there is a penalty at the end of it, but people are going to forget. He picked up the first down.
It was the first down. They were going to be in field goal range of some kind.
Yeah.
And yes.
And I think, like, everything we just saw, it wasn't a perfect game from him. There's the little stupid fumble thing that I hope nobody talks about or remembers. I can't get over the fact that, like, he gave us a moment that I just hope people appreciate that moment, because they're harder to come by in a way that can be truly appreciated. There's only so, like, he's done things on the field nobody can do, and you only see it so many times where you just, that's Mahomes. That's just him. And that what we just saw is, it's not just the physical abilities that he shows us and the rare talent, the best, most talented player this league has ever seen. It's the mental fortitude. It's the toughness that goes with it that makes him special.
The other person that we deserve to get flowers. We're getting so many flowers.
Flowers.
Andy Reid.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Andy, coaches.
There's going to be some combos. But
I was
yes.
very critical. I mean, obviously, you watched the second screen. The decision to
BJ
punt.
And I were rattled.
The punt, I did not like that decision at all. But going back before that, I'm looking at my notes from the game. The Andy Reid challenge on the MVS stretch. We forget about that play.
MVS.
That led to a touchdown, ended up being one of the biggest decisions in MVP. The game. I really want to know who is in Andy's ear to tell him, like, that eye in the sky yeah. that tells him, like, hey, you need to challenge this play. Because to your point, we were talking about this. He's trying to determine, do I challenge this play? Do I get the next play call in? What's the next play call? He's got a lot going on. And his decision to challenge that play ended up being one of the biggest decisions in the game. His decision to punt worked out.
Oh, man.
And I'll admit, I was 100% wrong, and I apologize for forgetting and doubting the man absolutely Hall of Fame, one of the best coaches of all time. Not that he's above making a mistake every once in a while.
We can have some process result conversations too. Like
he's a better head coach than I am. It's okay. He's a better NFL head coach than I am. I know.
I can't believe you would make such a bold statement, Maddie.
Breaking news: Andy Reid is better at that than I am. I do want to get back to him. I did want to circle slightly back to your guys talking about Patrick Mahomes' kind of legacy and what this means. Yes, we are getting to the point where people are tired of him. People are going to be tired of national media. Fans of other teams are going to be tired of him. We are there. We have been there. I think a game like this, though, where he is very clearly not his normal self, where he is very clearly hurt, he is very clearly battling through some shit, I think that's going to go a long way, though, in objective people's minds when they look back on this, when they think about it. I think that's going to mean a lot. You can go through. He's being a professional out there. he's not getting involved in the Travis Kelce smack talk, which I love. I don't get me wrong. I love it. He's not getting in the chippiness. He's waving guys off the field after the made field goal to win the game. He is only thinking about winning and getting this team to the Super Bowl. That's going to stick for people. That kind of stuff matters. Those little things matter when you want to start talking about legacy and projecting out. Those things matter. I just wanted to swing back to that. We can talk about any coaching decisions we want.
Playing on one leg and throwing for 326 yards and two tutties.
It's a high ankle sprain.
I mean, like that alone. Allegedly. Like, allegedly.
More information came out today. Yeah. Who knows? Everybody's wrong about
everything.
But I mean,
yeah, playing with all that, with the depleted weapons, like, that's alone. Like, yeah, there, you can sit and hate on the Chiefs. You want to hate the Chiefs' success. That's good. Fine. You know, that's fine. We've seen it before. Trust me. Mm. I've been there with the Patriots. I'm on board with that. That's fine. You want to hate the Chiefs? Good. Hate the Chiefs. It is hard to hate Patrick Mahomes when they play in those kinds of moments, in those kinds of things, in those kinds of situations where the stakes are the absolute highest and everything is avalanching against you. And you still make plays. You still have those moments. Those are the things that stick out. I mean, we call them the Michael Jordan flu game for a reason.
Yeah.
When there's adversity and you see the best players in the world step up in the biggest moments, when they can fight through that and do that, it just cements legacies. It just puts that. I mean, he was already a Hall of Famer. That's one. That's one for the real right there. That game right there. It does not matter what happens in this Super Bowl. That game right there is one for the real.
And he's hilarious. if you haven't seen his tweet, he's using a famous bowling gif. Who do you think you are? I am. He just tweeted that out.
And the DB room is going in on Eli Apple, goodness. Smoking cigars, Cancun on three tweets.
Colin Saunders is tagging Eli Apple and Mike Hilton and saying, hey, man, you guys might want to deactivate for a little while. Yeah.
They're getting
they
after him right now.
Seats.
They're getting after him right now. They're putting him through it, and it's deserved. It's so deserved.
They talk so much.
If there was ever a team in the history of sports that deserved it, it is the discount Cleveland Frogles.
I mean, we had some questions this week. We're at the Shrine Bowl. You guys are going to see these interviews. And we asked some players at times. It's like, do you talk? Do you have conversations with the players on the field? And we had one individual that said, no, I let my play do the talking. Because the people that are the loudest, eventually you are going to get brought down a peg. And when that happens, you have to face the full wrath of that situation, and that is exactly what is happening with the Bengals right now.
Oh, Eli's. Did you guys say Eli's mom deleted her Twitter? Did you know that? Eli Apple's mom deleted her Twitter.
Okay, now we don't have to go after people's moms.
No. Like, she's the hot
man. I understand that she talks a lot, but like, we don't have to go after people's moms.
We can pivot out of that.
I'm just saying, like, that's apparently just happened.
Yeah.
It's okay. She should do her. She's coping. And I get it. Everybody, thanks for watching right now. Hit the live button. Hit the subscribe button. We're not going anywhere. We're having a good time. We got literally thousands of people are watching us right now, guys. This is insane.
Good.
We are going to be hanging out, celebrating, puffing our chest, running our mouth, because we haven't been able to for the last year.
You know, speak for yourself, buddy.
I'll just be honest with you. It took everything in me not to tweet a lot this week. Like, I just didn't, like...
No, let's be real. You were nervous.
I was nervous.
You were nervous.
And it's not... But I also, like, it's hard to explain because, like, I think this is why this game was so good, is because this is, like, the reminder type game. This is a reminder that brings everybody back to accepting what this football team is all about, that we hadn't really gotten opportunity to in a while, I don't think. You know, and this is another level because, you know, look what happened. Like, all the adversity on the injuries. Both sides of the football, six rookies playing. Last year was devastating. Just devastating. And it was the first time that, you know, like, it was the first time where the Chiefs were healthy and adversity struck and they didn't respond.
Yep.
You know, and it sucks that, like, part of Mahomes' legacy, like, on, like, it's like the farther and farther away you get from the Super Bowl that they won. There's just some, there's not doubt, but it just kind of, you feel a little bit like more emotional about, you know, every single Super Bowl that happens that you're not winning. And I mean, the Chiefs had you know, you, me, and Maddie playing offensive line for the last time that this team was in the Super Bowl.
That's okay. You, me, and Maddie were playing offensive line for the Bengals this week, and it worked out.
But no one cares, by the way. By the way, the Chiefs lost that with that happening, with us playing offensive line. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. So, like, in the moment, it's going to matter. In the moment, things are going to matter about this game to people, and they're going to be used as excuses or reasons somebody won, right or wrong. No one's going to care moving forward, right? That stuff's no longer going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, though, yeah, like, this is different, and I think Patrick Mahomes in the Chiefs right now, the way this team is being set up, they're going to rewrite history in a weird way. If you're going to have a lot of records about them being one of the least successful efficiency in terms of teams, in terms of AFC championship games lost, Super Bowls lost, stuff like that, because winning Super Bowls is hard.
And just a second, as a fan base that really didn't have a ton of experience of having a lot of success,
mm-hmm.
we, with literally the Michael Jordan of football, are learning that right now, how hard it is to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is. But see, here's the thing. When you have Patrick LeVon Mahomes during your down year, during your rebuilding year, mm-hmm. during your retooling year, you can find yourself back in the Super Bowl. Remember that, Chiefs fans. You came into this year, I asked people publicly, you know, on our KCSN Discord, what they would feel like if they lost a divisional round, and a lot of people were okay with that. They didn't love it, but they were okay with it. Everyone was happy just winning the divisional round because this was a down year, a retooling year. This team was not supposed to be a Super Bowl team, mm-hmm. according to everyone.
Correct.
Yes, everyone.
Some people thought they were the fourth best team in the AFC West.
Their wide receiver one didn't finish this game. Their tight end one, the best tight end to ever play this game, came in with a stiff back to where he couldn't practice. Their quarterback on one leg. Their best defensive back, their second best defensive player, left on the first drive. Their better linebacker, just in terms of his play in this game, had to leave the game early.
Hey, shout out to Darius Harris for having a pretty decent game. Yeah, well. I mean, he got thrust into
flowers.
It.
Yeah. All of their dynamic wide receiver weapons besides Sky Moore, who they still struggled to get in that role. They lost so many guys. This team that wasn't supposed to be here lost so many starters, contributors, and it was the epitome of next man up. Nobody played perfect, besides maybe Chris Jones. Nobody played perfect. Nobody was absolutely 100% perfect. Guess what? This team that wasn't supposed to be here took all of those losses and is still here. They're still playing in the Super Bowl after all that. So, yes, we as Chiefs fans have to realize making the Super Bowl is hard. And this doesn't make it easier to remember that, because they shouldn't be there.
No, they shouldn't be there. Listen. Eric Bieniemy speaks in a lot of cliches. If you listen to an Eric Bieniemy presser, you've pretty much heard it before. But the "we train our backups to be starters" role, my God, this week is the absolute epitome of that. It absolutely is. Those guys all stepping up. Those guys all stepping in. It's amazing. Like, that speaks to coaching. That speaks to the commitment, the buy-in for everybody. Like, it's awesome.
I just... Tyreek Hill had a great game today.
Jesus.
You don't know. No, and this isn't. No. This isn't me like getting a joke off about Tyreek Hill. It's just like that embodies everything we're talking about here. This team got rid of a superstar.
A legitimate, like, they got rid of a superstar. Yes.
And then what did they do? They traded it for draft picks that all hit. They traded it for cap space for the future. They set themselves foundationally for just an unbelievable run here and an opportunity. And, you know, like, the thing I love, though, like, the thing, and again, like, yeah, down year, Travis Kelce's not going to be here for 10 years.
Bite your tongue.
But he's going to be, you know, I love that they're giving him another opportunity to win another ring. Like, that's the one thing I'm just so happy about. Is they didn't waste a Travis Kelce year, because we just found out today you could line you, me, and Maddie up at receiver and they're still going to find a way to win. But I want Travis Kelce to be part of this as long as we possibly can. And I'm just glad that we're getting to see Travis Kelce enjoy another Super Bowl appearance.
Third time in 5 years.
Against his brother.
That's pretty cool.
And what I want everybody to enjoy over the next 60 seconds are these highlights while I pay a couple bills real quick. The stage is set and we are counting down to the battle in Arizona. There's no better way to get ready for the NFL action with DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 57. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at an even bigger payout with DraftKings stepped-up same-game parlays. Boost your Super Bowl 57 winnings with each leg you add up to 100%. Chiefs and Eagles, Andy Reid, the Kelce brothers. This is going to be an amazing storyline, amazing game, amazing couple of weeks getting ready for this one. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KCSN. New customers can bet $5 on Super Bowl 57 and get $200 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void in Ohio. See show notes. See show notes for details. I knew that was coming.
No.
See the show notes for details. Thank you, everybody.
The guy. Oh my God.
Boyd in
it's
Ohio.
It's a Boyd in Ohio?
Oh my God.
Just like the Super Bowl.
I didn't read it before I said it. As soon as it came out of my mouth, gosh. I paused because I was like, oh my God.
That's the best read we've ever had.
You're listening to the fastest growing sports media network in Kansas City, KC Sports Network. We'll be back right after this. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.
All right, is there anybody that we've left out so far? We've run down just about everybody. Are we leaving?
Talking about Joe Tooney?
Oh, my goodness. Joe Tooney picking up Logan Wilson on that run blitz for Pacheco to pick up those extra.
Great play. I mean, the entire offensive line, right? There was a couple plays where Andrew Wiley or Orlando Brown Jr. struggled with some speed up the arc. And I think part of that was also Patrick Mahomes. The mobility clearly wasn't what it needed to be, like always there, right? It was enough. It was clearly enough, but he couldn't hit the back of his drop, put that right leg in the ground, and then immediately slide forward. So some of those pass rushes, some of those speed rushes up the arc were giving them fits. But outside that, it was good. They had some long developing plays that, well, okay, the play wasn't long developing. They had plays that went long. They had the run blocking wasn't always great trying to go to the inside. So like they had a tough ass, but they did pretty good. Mahomes, who was limited in his movement, couldn't constantly get going. So I just want to shout out to the entire offensive line. Joe Tooney in particular had a couple really good highlight plays where he was peeling off his double team and catching guys coming in late. So credit to all of those guys.
We've got more than 2,000 of you watching. Please hit that like and subscribe so more people can find this content. Like I said, we'll have plenty more getting ready for Super Bowl 57 between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. I just saw one comment in the chat room. Said one player we haven't, or one person, excuse me, that we haven't given enough credit to is Spags.
Oh, we can go there too. Okay.
Oh, buddy.
That's a whole podcast.
We're going to be going for a little bit here because this is too much fun.
Everybody's getting their flowers right now. This is great.
And shout out to Blue Wire Studios, the producers that are helping us out. Like, this is an amazing experience. We appreciate everybody for hanging out. But, Craig, I want to set you up for this. And not necessarily talk about the performance tonight, but as far as, like, the plays that happened on the field, but, like, the game plan. Like, what did you see from Spags? And he's kind of – I don't want to lead you to anywhere because we've talked about this during the five things to watch. But I want you to – your opportunity to talk about Spags – in a playoff game, stepping up and do what he did tonight.
I mean, yeah, I talked about it when we built into this thing. Chiefs pass rush was a monster. Like, as the game went along, sure, the Bengals made adjustments, tried to get out of some of that stuff. When that game started, Joe Burrow was ruined. He was absolutely ruined by this Chiefs pass rush. Chris Jones, Frank Clark, Mike Dana, George Karloftis, Carlos Dunlap were a terror for Joe Burrow. And that got them the looks that they needed. They forced so many protection adjustments. They forced some extra stuff. Keeping an extra running back and a tight end in the backfield, running things short, running condensed looks so that they could try and chip Frank Clark, so they can try and get chips on Carlos Dunlap as well. Those were the things that they had to do to slow down Steve Spagnuolo. We didn't get to see a lot of exotic coverages out of Steve Spagnuolo today. And a lot of that is largely because Legarius Sneed goes out almost immediately in this game. And we said it on the live stream. It was like, that does not bode well for being able to run some of the exotic stuff that you want to run. Legarius Sneed, his ability to play top down and get rotated into those safety looks is so important for this defense when they're rotating into those exotic coverages. Now all of a sudden, you can't do some of that stuff. You can't rotate into some of that stuff, especially with a rookie. And we've seen that at times this year that they go super basic. But having those guys prepared, we talked a ton about Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, who's going to get the start? Who's going to play? Throughout the entire year, those guys have rotated. If Spags doesn't give those young DBs the experience that they had throughout the year, they're not prepared for a moment where they've got to show up and guard Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. They just aren't ready for that level of competition. So getting those reps, when they drafted those dudes, what did we say? Oh, you know, Brett Veach is making them.
Yelled
making
a lot then too. Them
play the rookies because Steve Spagnuolo doesn't like playing rookie corners. Guess what? Steve Spagnuolo not only liked playing rookie corners, he liked playing Brian Cook coming out there making a giant PBU. The amount of reps that those rookies got throughout the season is exactly why they were ready for that moment right there.
Listen, Joe Burrow got the ball out in 2.65 seconds.
What it was? Official?
Yeah, yes, official.
Holy 2.65, cow, that's fast.
That would be tied for the eighth fastest in the NFL this regular season.
Didn't matter.
He got put down a lot.
A lot.
He got beat up throwing the ball the eighth fastest out of any quarterback would in the NFL this year. That pass rush was putting it on him. And I get it. I understand. Backup offensive line, yada, yada,
that's
yada.
That's what you do, though.
Yada, yada, yada. You know what? The Chiefs are throwing the backups of backups wide receivers, and it didn't matter. You can get that excuse. You can take that crumpled up and throw it home. Go give that to Ja'Marr Chase, who I don't really remember. He had one catch that mattered?
He actually had a pretty decent stat line.
He's tuning in a can.
It is okay.
Tuning in a can.
Not a superstar, kind of. Tuning in a can. The Bengals are eating themselves alive. Jermaine Pratt, why the F would you touch the quarterback as he walks into?
No.
That's what happens when you have bad culture and you can't overcome adversity. When you're a front runner that plays with fake confidence and you can't sustain it when someone punches you in the mouth and you can't respond. That's the kind of stuff that happens in your culture.
Fraudulent?
Fraudulent franchise.
You've got to have a veteran player.
He's a free agent, by the way.
Room. I know. You've got to have a veteran player.
Who?
More veteran than him.
They don't pay him.
I know. Jesse Bates, who also
is
a free agent.
He's a free agent.
You've got to have somebody that grabbed
that guy. Travis Kelce was catching a touchdown over him.
Well, I mean, yeah, that happened. Also, I believe, you know, he missed the pass to MVS for another touchdown. Anyway,
Ja'Marr Chase had 6 catches for 75 yards and no tugs. I mean, I'll call that a win for the Chiefs.
That's a good stat line.
That's fine.
No, you take that
a bunch
every day.
Of rookie DBs. That's
a
win.
But my point is, you can't do that. That is the difference between the culture.
That.
You can't do that.
I got that reference.
Yeah, nice. But I mean, Joseph Osai felt terrible. I was saying after the game when they kept showing Joseph Osai sitting on the bench, just distraught. I was like, man, don't show that dude. He's trying to make a play. Yeah, he made a stupid decision. It cost his team. There are hundreds of people in that organization that he just let down. You're going to have one of your starting linebackers come after you for that?
Maybe he should have made a play.
Maybe he should have made a play.
That's what I'm going to say. Maybe he should have made a play.
Did he?
I know we have a tweet, Kent, that wants to bring up from Patrick Mahomes, but I want to give this, this leads into it. Rich Ornberger, former NFL player with the Patriots, Cardinals, and Chargers, put this on Twitter. Mahomes can walk off the field right now, drive home and never play another snap of football, and he'd be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes.
He's only been a starting quarterback for 5 seasons in the NFL, and this has never happened before. Mahomes is a mind-blowing talent.
People are, like, scared to – I mean, like, it's going to be hard to win 7 Super Bowls. But Patrick Mahomes is the best player the league has ever seen. And I'm – like, I understand, like, yeah, Tom Brady has the rings – but, like, Mahomes is just a different – he's an alien. He's Michael Jordan. Like, Bill Russell has all the titles. And, like, I mean, I think Bill Russell still has more titles. Mahomes is a – Michael Jordan was the best talent ever.
This from Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star. Kent, this will lead into the tweet that you're going to bring up. Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, tweets out from Brett Veach. Brett Veach on Patrick Mahomes. People don't realize how hurt he was.
Yeah. And this is why, and this is where you kind of give a lot of credit to people that were not, more people need flowers and it's not on the field. This is from Rick Berhalter, who is the lead trainer for the Kansas City Chiefs. Thanks for the support. And if you loved the way Patrick played, then love the person, Julie Freimeyer. She designed and executed the rehab. And then Mahomes has to say, Julie was the reason I was the guy on the field today.
Holy cow.
It takes everyone, but she led the charge all week. Now let's get Super Bowl ready. So
There are so many. This is why when Andy Reid and Brett Veach and Clark Hunt get in front of the media and they say it takes everybody, it takes a whole squad of people. You don't always hear the names. You don't always see what they do. But it's moments like this that I love that they give flowers and they bring up the people that you don't see. You may see them standing on the sideline. You see them bring out water to the players. You know, I wonder what they do besides just bringing water to the players. They work with these players all the freaking time. And I love the fact that they're getting credit right now. And that's why when they give the Super Bowl rings out, they give rings to absolutely everybody in the organization. Because for a win like this to happen, we've literally named probably everyone in the org. I'm going to shout out Matt McMullen for doing a phenomenal job bringing great content, great stats. Mitch Holtis, everybody for making the experience of being a Chiefs fan what it is and the reason that we are as passionate as of a fan base as we are. Everybody deserves their flowers. I love that tweet from Patrick Mahomes in the biggest moment, one of the biggest games of his career, giving credit to somebody that if he might not have tweeted that, you might not have known how important she was to what they did. Rick Burkholder staff, Julie, mentioned her earlier, but Julie, Evan Kraft, David Glover, all those, they're going to have their work cut out for them over the next couple of weeks with how many injuries the Chiefs have.
Several. And I mean, it's, you know, it's a little tricky right now. There's still a game to play. And I think that's important. It's I hope we all remember that there's still a game to play. The Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. They're going to be playing in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks.
You think we're going to talk about that a little bit?
I think we have time to talk about it, but it's just really fun to run our mouths right now.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
I mean, it's 2 weeks away, which is good. And the Chiefs, we talked about, they have a lot of injuries. There's guys beat up. A lot of guys went through stuff. Like there's a lot of planning to do, whether it's recovery, whether it's getting ready for the next game. There's time for that. This is the bonus of having the Super Bowl. This is the bonus of this off week here. So, like, the Chiefs have a lot to sit back, to refocus. And, I mean, we talked about it a little bit ago. Like, yes, some guys are getting their shots off at the Bengals, and I think it's well-deserved and shows you what they think. Listen to Andy Reid. Listen to Patrick Mahomes. Listen to these guys. They kind of matter. Like, those guys are on it. Those guys are all over it. They know that there's more. They know it's not done. They lost the Super Bowl. They know what that feels like. They lost the Super Bowl that had a million excuses for why they lost it.
Yep.
That makes sense. They still don't want to be there. They still know what that is. So they're trying. They are trying not to get back there. They're going to do everything they can to make sure they're not. You got to keep that in our mind. Yeah, winning Super Bowls is better. You'd rather win a Super Bowl. But that loss in a Super Bowl, battling through the adversity they had in that and still losing, there's lessons that they're going to learn from that. And they're going to bring that into this whole preparation process. Everything that has to go there. We've talked a lot about these rookies getting playing time. Going through this game, up, down, hard, physical, gritty. These guys are getting experience and stuff that's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not Patrick Mahomes stepping on the field in 2018 and lighting the world on fire. He's talked about it. He said, I came out, I ran the plays, and everything was good. Everything was perfect. It was easy. He said it was easy. And then when teams started adjusting, it mattered. These rookies that are playing right now, these young guys, they're battling through that stuff immediately. That's going to matter going to a Super Bowl going forward. This team is only going to be better than this moving forward.
Oh, for sure. And there's one thing that you kind of come back to, I think about. This was always Patrick Mahomes' team. Always Patrick Mahomes' team. This change this offseason, how it went, what they decided to do, roster building. This feels like Patrick Mahomes' team differently than it ever has, where he's 27 years old now. He's always been setting the standard, but there's less older veteran voices in there that are, you know, helping guide that standard. Not to say that, to diminish the value of Frank Clark or a Chris Jones or a Carlos Dunlap, but they've gone young in such a big way where that Mahomes mentality, that the way he goes about his business, I think helps them set the standard differently for a young group, because I think people fall in line the older and older more Mahomes gets, where he's still got a lot of people and a lot of support from a lot of leadership, like Travis Kelce too. But it just feels like this has been such an intentional approach to go young, and it just feels like this team's going to respond in such a big way, and like this does kind of feel like the start of something special with a very young football team with a lot of draft capital left. There's a new standard being set for these young guys, and the way that they've kind of reacted, I think speaks to, you know, like Mahomes, his leadership and how this organization is moving forward.
The start of something.
The start. It's the start. At least, hey, they only have 12 draft picks next year and a lot of cap space.
You know what? We said last year, they're not picking all those. those picks. They're not going to take all those guys. There's not room for all those guys. And pretty much every single one of them made a play today.
Well, and like,
if only there was a sports network you could have listened to during the draft where you're like, this class is special.
Hey, Maddie, you better get on that, buddy.
Well,
all of your guys.
Oh, man. Well, a lot of pressure again. Okay.
But that's another thing that we need to talk about is like, even when we sat there at draft day, well, that. Chiefs were drafting another corner. Well, the Chiefs drafted another corner. And then the Chiefs took another corner. They hit. Even Nazi Johnson is a...
should have gone to the other shot.
Yeah.
Come on, really you can see it. You can see it.
It's even better. But, like, Nazi Johnson's a good special teams player.
He made a tackle.
I mean, it's just, like, it's just crazy to see, like, this team didn't stop investing in the cornerback position even after they made a big swing to acquire one. And think, and I'm so glad they did because they got bona fide starters, playmakers, on their football team because of it.
They did. No, they 100% did. The rookie class has stepped up. We've talked a lot about them. I think the one person left that we haven't given flowers to, Justin Reed. Everybody came at him in that first matchup for talking a little bit of trash leading up to the game. That's not what the Chiefs do, just like they did to Willie in this one, who was having a good game before his injury. But Justin Reed, he very clearly is that focusing presence. He is the guy that gets that secondary, especially with all those rookies. He gets them settled. He gets them in there. Guess who made some fantastic football plays? Guess who broke up a pass to Tyler Higbee in the back of the end zone on a diving deflection?
Tyler Higbee.
It's Hayden Hurst. I don't want someone to think I'm being serious. It's a Tyler Higbee. It's Hayden Hurst. And the back of the end zone that stopped a touchdown. That was a perfect play. He's coming up. He's hitting. He's making tackles. The Chiefs didn't use him as a blitzer a ton this week like he had been doing up to this point. I think that's part of the game plan. But this team and Justin Reed coming in, being this leader, they came in, they brought him in to replace Tyrann Mathieu, this guy that helped lead this team to win a Super Bowl. They need to replace and they want to get younger. He's the guy. He caught a lot of flack throughout the beginning of the year because he was trying to get used to a new team. He was trying to play with a bunch of rookies, learn a new scheme. Well, guess what? He's figured it out. He has figured it out. He matters on the back end of this defense. And now that he matters, now that he's getting these guys, he's running Steve Spagnuolo's system. He's getting these rookies. They're playing together. They're understanding how to work together. Now he's making plays in the run game, in the pass game. I think we've gone a little too far now from being upset at him after that first Bengals game because of a few missed tackles and talking trash.
Yeah, it was the talking.
It was a bad
too.
Game, but he's played great since then.
All right, I got two more plays. We're getting out flowers. We got to figure out a new title.
Flower for you.
There's one player we've talked about. But
it's
not
the Rose Bowl.
We're getting a lot of flowers out, but we haven't talked about this player in terms of giving him his flowers. But Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
The catch that he got hurt on. We knew he hadn't played in, what you said, 2 months?
Three months.
Chiefs offense struggling at this time in the game. It's tied 13-13, middle of the third quarter. We knew going into halftime, early in the second half, like, wasn't going the Chiefs' way. 3rd and 4, 9-10 left to go. Mecole Hardman catches an 11-yard pass. It's the play that he got injured on, never came back into the game. That catch and play was probably one of the more settling type of plays that we saw. And they ultimately went down and scored a touchdown on that drive. A lot of other things happened on that drive, but none of it matters if Mecole doesn't make the catch that he did. Knowing that he probably, I'm not going to say he was 100%, but he had so many setbacks trying to come back from this injury and however that all played out, played through whatever it was, whatever he aggravated based on the way they tagged it was it was questionable with a pelvic. It was the same kind of injury that he had been dealing with and had given him setbacks. So we got to give him his credit. And the other player that hasn't gotten enough credit is Frank fucking Clark.
Frank, the shark. Clark, not enough credit.
I'm sorry.
He is not. Hey, listen, it is what it is. Guys make plays. Guys lead teams. Guys do big stuff. Frank Clark is one of those guys. He just did that in this game, along with everybody else that we've talked about. So this was the game. This was it. This is what mattered. Do you have anybody else, Craig? You just got back. Is there anybody else that we haven't given flowers to that you want to give a shout out to? We got Justin Reed while you were gone. We got Mecole Hardman, who battling through some stuff.
Like,
he was not
tough
feeling
today.
Great. Anybody else that we haven't mentioned yet? I feel like we've kind of run down. Ronald Jones. Shout out Ronald Jones.
Oh,
he got
hell
some reps in there. Let's go.
No. At this point, everybody played so well and stepped into a role that was more than they were asked to do. I mean, MVS. We were talking about that. Having him have to go on some of those orbit motions, having to do some of the things that he had to do. Like, they put so much on him that he had to handle that was just out of the blue. Like, it really was. It was, hey, guess what? This is the stuff that we've been giving to Kadarius, to McCole, the Sky, to Juju all year long. We need you to step up and do it. Andy talks about how he puts so much on all of his receivers, running through all of that. Hey, you need to know the whole route tree. You need to know every position. That's when it mattered, because they put him in that position all game today, and he stepped up.
Shout out to Gray. Made a couple nice blocks in some plays, too. I'm trying to think of anybody else we haven't shouted out yet. Jody Fortson, gutting it out there.
I think you need to shout out Marcus Kemp.
Marcus Kemp definitely needs a shout out. We got that catch. I mean, they hit a catch. I mean, he got a reception. Marcus Kemp got a reception in here. It's a good one. Jody Fortson, battling back from injury. Like, I weren't naming everybody, but they deserve it. They all deserve it. Everybody played a role today. That's the point. Through all these injuries, everyone had to play some kind of role, and they did it.
Darius Harris.
Yeah.
We talked about Darius Harris yet?
We did. Got a, yeah, we yeah. got a little Darius Harris shout action in there, too.
O-line played pretty well.
It's everybody.
On Pat and pass, bro. I mean, Mahomes really didn't get hit very many times. And when he did, it was him trying to hang on and give plays a chance longer than he needed to. I mean, not necessarily that he needed to, but you know what I mean.
Like, everybody deserves a shout out when you bring Dad's trophy home.
Mm.
You know, two people haven't gotten a shout out.
Bring it.
Tucker Franklin, Michaela Bennett.
Oh, yes.
Crushing it for us on the old social here in Las Vegas. There we've got the shots, Tucker, Michaela, just crushing it on Instagram, social media for us. Tucker, feeling it right now. The Tucker vibing.
He's a
That's
vibe.
That's what we need right there.
He's a whole vibe.
All right, we'll wrap this show up here in the next couple of minutes. Thank you. And well, shout out to everybody that's been following along. This has been a blast following along experience in this game, obviously on the post-game show, but also on the second screen watch party that we had earlier. Obviously, shout out to everybody at Blue Wire Studios and this phenomenal studio that they have and they give us access to come in here and do what we absolutely love doing 19 months after starting KC Sports Network. This is absolutely surreal to be here and experiencing this with all of you and all my pals.
Appreciate it.
Real quick, I think I've said that a lot today. Mahomes said, the guys were as pumped as I've ever seen them over the Bengals comments included with the Burrowhead comments and the mayor of Cincinnati coming after me.
That was a weird one.
Learn. Yeah. That is the most disrespectful.
That mayor's that not weird. Getting reelected. That's
not going to happen. You just fueled the fire for your local sports team to get their ass kicked.
Two minutes after the game, Travis Kelce just calls you out on
what's
like,
wrong
you
with
you, jabroni.
It's his fault.
That's the whole point. That's going to be all the headlines now. The entire headlines for the next few weeks are not only going to be about the Bengals losing, but all the trash talk the Chiefs are sending their way at their mayor for a football game.
You know what's running against him? Is this going to show clips of all of this?
Like, guess what I'm not going to do? Piss off the greatest football player to ever live.
You trust this guy with your livelihood? You sure?
That's just the irrational confidence that city had. Like, that's the irrational confidence that they embodied. And someone needed to humble them. Because they still haven't done anything. Chiefs, and it's only going to get harder.
Via Herbie Teope of the Kansas City Star, quote, Chiefs defensive tackle Chris Jones says, they try to stay away from trash talk, then adds, don't ever disrespect Arrowhead.
Yeah. Oh,
you don't
love
yeah.
that.
I just, yeah, there's so many things I wanted to quote tweet. Speaking
of stadiums, Michaela pointed this out as soon as the game was over. Chiefs started this season in Phoenix, Arizona. They're going to end it there, too.
That's a nice little bow.
It's going to be a fun couple weeks getting ready for this game, and hopefully we get a lot of positive information regarding the injuries. Hopefully they weren't too serious for the Chiefs, something to pay attention to. But we're going to enjoy this win for the next few days. We'll have plenty of content still coming to you as we're out in Las Vegas getting draft content that we'll post here in a few weeks once the season is over and they get that Super Bowl championship. We'll have plenty of draft stuff for you, but appreciate everybody for hanging out. We appreciate everybody again at Blue Wire Studios here at the Wynn Casino in Las Vegas for taking care of us. We'll be out here for the next few days, but I'll be chatting with Matt Miller tomorrow morning for our Stock Up, Stock Down on KCSN Update. Again, make sure to hit that like and subscribe on YouTube or follow us on your favorite podcasting platform. 25 shows a week, not just covering the Kansas City Chiefs, but also covering the Kansas City Royals, KU, K-State, Mizzou. We cover Sporting KC, the KC Current. KC Sports Network is more than just the Kansas City Chiefs, but it is obviously a phenomenal time to be a Kansas City Chiefs fan. We appreciate everybody for celebrating this win with us. And Kent, you were so calm all day that we're going to let you take this one home for us.
Patrick Mahomes will be unable to accept his MVP award. He'll be too busy getting ready for the last game of the season. Enjoy all of this. This has been a really fun season, and it's not done yet.
Let's go!
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard and think others would as well. You can find all six of our channels at KCSN, covering the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain, educate, inform. KC Sports Network.